tonight. And if you would take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2 here this evening. And I actually chose the song. It came upon the midnight clear, and we want to have that as our title here for our message here tonight from Luke's Gospel chapter number 2. I'll let you be seated here tonight. But let me just read for you a couple of verses of Scripture, beginning in verse number 7. The very famous story says this, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." I want to speak to you on that topic here this evening. It came upon a midnight clear. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd bless this sermon right now and help each and every one of us, that, Lord, we would even cherish the fact that Jesus came. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now. In his name we pray this. Amen. It is one of the more familiar Christmas hymns. It Came Upon a Midnight Clear was actually written in 1849 by a Unitarian preacher by the name of Edmund Sears. In 1849, what was heavy on his mind, we learned this from some of his writings, it was heavy on his mind that there was turmoil all around him. If you know your history, you know that 1849, the 49ers, the gold rush was in effect, right in the midst of that, and that seemingly was good, but it left a lot of degradation as people went after gold and they left their morals, and just it was really kind of wrecking the country. The Industrial Revolution was at its peak, and in addition, you had the throes of slavery that were enveloping this country. In fact, 1849 was the year that Harriet Tubman escaped slavery and began the Underground Railroad. It was the years just prior to, of course, this heightening to the point where we had the Civil War. In other words, it was a period of unrest. And what was on the mind of Edmund Sears was peace, tranquility, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And it's because of that that he wrote this song. Now, if you will allow me to be a little bit nitpicky. You know, when he writes this song, you know, do we know that the angels had harps? You know, it says there in that song that they were bending near the earth with their harps of gold. And do we even know that they were gold? And did they even have wings? You know, there's actually only the Isaiah 6 that tells us about angels, the seraphim, even having wings. Do we even know that? But maybe even more of a nitpicky question is, do we actually even know that it came at midnight? Do we even know that it was at night? You know, I would tell you that I could make a case. And if I wanted to, I could make a case that you cannot prove that it happened at night. After all, if you just simply use some logic, you realize that the Bible tells us, yes, those shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. But how do we know that Mary didn't have that baby during the day? And, I'm a preacher, and so I oftentimes get the opportunity, the privilege to visit the families as they have babies in the hospital, the mothers as they have their babies. And, you know, it's just kind of a thing out of respect that I don't just show up right after they have the baby. I usually let them rest a little. How do we know that the shepherds weren't, you know, courteously just simply brought in several hours after Mary and went through the labor and had a chance to rest? How do we know that? And after all, you know, the Bible mentions, you know, that, you know, unto you is born this day. Day could be somewhere within 24 hours. How do we know that it was at night? Now, somebody might point out, well, yes, but those shepherds, they were keeping watch over their flock by night. But as I said, that doesn't ensure that they arrived right after the birth of Christ took place. But in addition, consider the story about the wise men. Oftentimes people say, aha, I got you there, preacher, because after all, they followed the star. But you know, we don't even know for sure that those wise men came when Christ was born. That there's many who actually believe that the wise men may have shown up maybe upwards of 2 years later. And the reason why we believe that is the fact that the Bible tells us that Jesus was now called a child in Matthew chapter 2, and he was in the house. And, you know, there's other indications of Herod, the madman, when he felt like he was shunned by the wise men, he put out a decree to ensure that he killed this newborn king. He killed all of the babies that were 2 years of age and under. So it might be that it was upwards of 2 years later. We don't know for sure that the wise men came on the night that Christ was born. Now, my point is this, that you could make a case, but before you come at me with pitchforks, and before you want to throw me out and ruin everything about Christmas, I think it's still okay to sing the songs, "O Holy Night." And it came upon a midnight clear, and we even sang it tonight. Again, Ma, you notice we got another silent night in. And she wanted silent night, so we got it in again here tonight. And so the night songs about Christmas are okay to keep. And I'm here to tell you, I do believe that he was born at night. Now, why do I believe that Jesus was born at night? That's what's so important. That's what's important to even focus upon here tonight. The reason why I believe it was appropriate that Jesus was born at night is because Jesus is the light of the world. And every night needs a light. And Jesus is that light. You know, when you stop and think about everything that the Bible tells us about light, you even get a picture of salvation at the very beginning of the Bible. For the Bible tells us in creation that God began this whole thing when he broke up darkness with light. Listen to these verses, Genesis 1, verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light." Now, a couple of verses later, we read this interesting summary of a day, when the Bible tells us in verse number 5 of Genesis 1, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." And you know, the Jews have, from that point on, they have observed their day beginning at night. And usually at 6 o'clock at night, when they basically average, in case, by the way, you are curious about this, the average time that it gets dark in Israel is approximately 6 o'clock. The longest that it goes before it gets dark, the latest sunset is somewhere in the summertime at 7:41 p.m. If you're interested, today it got dark at 4:41. 4:41 p.m. in Bethlehem, Israel, 4:41 was darkness. That's when the sun set. Now, you average that out, somewhere around 6 o'clock is the average time. And so they just simply figure that 6 o'clock time is good to simply start the day, because God said the evening starts it and then the day, so you have the evening and the morning. Consider, by the way, how this pictures Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus Christ, I believe, came, he came and he was the light that shone in darkness. But consider when he died. You know, it's interesting if you follow just a chronology when Jesus died, that it goes back and forth between light, dark, light, dark, dark, light. It goes back and forth many different times. Now, for instance, Jesus was arrested at night and probably had about 9 hours of trials that he had to endure, he had to go through, until finally they decided now to put him on the cross. The crucifixion began literally after it had become light. And Jesus, of course, hung on the cross. The Bible tells us, in the Jewish reckoning, the Bible tells us that Jesus hung on that cross for 6 hours. And it was dark half of that time. And so he spent half of the time on the cross in darkness, that basically being from noon until 3. The first half in light, from 9 until noon in light, from noon until 3 in darkness. But wait a second. You say, well, boy, that's really interesting. But what's really interesting is after Jesus died, you still had 3 more hours of light. If you go with the 6 o'clock being the average time of sunset, 3 hours. Now, there are those who say, I know how it got dark. It was an eclipse. I don't think so. Did you know that historians have pointed out that there are those who give eyewitness testimony back at the time that Jesus Christ died. And there are those who give eyewitness testimony that, you know that an eclipse happens when the moon goes in front of the sun. But strangely, on the day that Jesus Christ died, the moon was on the opposite side. So it never passed in front of the sun. So how did it become dark? God. God did that. That wasn't something that was natural. That was something supernatural. That was a God-ordered thing. And so there's darkness. And literally, you've got within even the time that Jesus Christ goes through that whole ordeal, that day, literally, you have a two-day even pictured there. A darkness, light, darkness, light. You've got two events basically in one day. Now, the point is this, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. What I want to share with you here this evening, it's just simply using that picture. Why is it important to realize that Jesus is the light? What is important about light? You know, light brings us so many valuable things. And there are several things that I want to share with you, several reasons why Jesus is important to us. First of all, light brings sight. Light brings sight. If you look in the dictionary, the first definition of light is something that makes vision possible. That did you know that it is a proven fact that those animals and creatures that do not succumb, do not have any light, eventually they will either go blind or their eyes will become inoperable. Because in order to use it, or in order for you to have benefit from it, you have to use it. And if you don't use it, you lose it. And so it is with sight. If you don't use your sight, in fact, it's been proven that individuals that have been placed in confinement in dark conditions, they come out of that sometimes blinded for a period of time, and in fact, sometimes even permanently. We need to have light. We need to have light that is shown to us. And if not, then we live in a darkened, a blind world. We are blind without the light. You think about different animals, mules that work in mines, they become blind. Horses kept in dark stables, denied sunlight, have become blind. You think about different creatures, for instance, earthworms. When was the last time you saw eyes on an earthworm? You just don't see them. And even moles do have small eyes, but they really don't need them. That's not what their function is. And the point is this, that God made you and I with eyes because he wanted us to see something. What he wanted us to see most of all is Jesus Christ. You see, God puts Jesus Christ into a darkened world so that the world can see. It's like a light bulb going off. And the problem with the world back then, as the world even today, I would even venture to say that there's a whole lot of folks today that are lip servicing Christmas, but they do not understand who Christ was. You see, in order to understand who he is, you need to receive him. In order to appreciate what Christmas is all about, as we just got done singing there, it's all about God providing himself a lamb. And Jesus Christ, the light. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Listen, our world is blind. And Jesus even mentioned that many, many times. He said to the Pharisees, you're blind, and blind leaders of the blind. And how many times you and I, we don't appreciate the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. You know, I love the song that is so famously sung by almost everybody in churches across the world. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. John Newton understood, because John Newton literally lived as an unsaved man in darkness. He certainly could have physical eyes that could see, but when he got saved, he wanted to express what a change came into his life because of Jesus Christ. And that's why he wrote those words. The words, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You see, light brings sight. But secondly, light brings life. You know, we learned about this even in grade school, that without sunshine, we would perish. You know, first of all, the sun provides the basis for all life on earth. And no matter what you eat, if you eat meat tonight, you know, you would have had something that needed light. even those animals that you know that you might eat the meat from, you know, whether it be a ham or turkey or a chicken or anything else, a steak, you need to have those animals eating vegetables, and vegetables grow because of photosynthesis. The light is necessary in order for all life to be sustained. And that's why God made that light for us to even understand how important it was. I grew up as a little boy. I remember watching, it was actually at that time, even reruns of the famous Superman TV show. And back in those days, George Reeves was the actor, and he had that famous Superman suit. But you know something interesting about the comic man Superman, the comic hero Superman? And that is, how did Superman regain or get his strength? Where did his strength come from? If you know the story, if you know the legendary Superman, you know that he always got his strength back from the sun. In other words, somebody even said it this way, that Superman was nothing more than a hero solar battery. He was a solar battery. Basically, he took the energy from the sun. The sun, that even in fiction, is pointed out, is so necessary for life and for strength. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting in that chapter that oftentimes we quote, even at Christmas time, in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 2, that very famous verse where it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's actually verse number 6. But if you back up to verse number 2, you find very interesting that before the Bible talks about the child being born, this is a prophecy about Christ, it mentions this in verse number 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." It's interesting, that phrase there, shadow of death. Many Bible teachers believe that refers to the land of Galilee, because Galilee itself is a name that literally means circle. It was like almost like an eclipsed area. A circle, almost like an eclipse, had covered that land, and that is the land that even kind of is right next to the Valley of Armageddon. It is a land of darkness, a land that is a shadow of death. And yet, isn't it interesting that that's the very place where after Jesus is born in Bethlehem and after Mary and Joseph take him, flee to Egypt for some time. It's in Galilee that Jesus Christ is called, and Jesus Christ grows, and Jesus Christ becomes the man, and Jesus Christ even ministers before he dies on the cross. You see, he served in the land of the shadow of death. That's, by the way, also why, even after his resurrection, he made that important appearance to those 7 disciples that were discouraged, Peter, and the others, that after Peter said, "I go fishing," they said, "We go fishing also." You see, he wanted to show himself in the valley of the shadow of death. You see, it's important for you and I to understand that we need the light. And we need the light because the light brings sight, but the light also brings life. But thirdly, the light brings cleansing. You see, it's a proven fact that light cleanses stains. It removes stains, it purifies. In fact, if you put any garment out in the sun, it will actually get bleached. We even call that sun bleaching. It will penetrate. It will affect. The sun will actually lighten. It will take away the darkness. You know, it's even before we would have even other means of counteracting bacteria, there was actually the only thing that we had oftentimes to take care of germs was to put it out in the sun. The sun is actually beneficial. And that's why the Bible even says about Jesus Christ, even in the Old Testament, the prophetic verse, I believe, in Isaiah 1, verse number 18, where God said, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What do we read in 1 John? We read that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. You see, we needed the light because we needed to be cleansed of our sin. We needed the light because the light will purify. But fourthly, the light also brings healing. It brings healing. You know, we all understand how beneficial light is. In fact, there's actually even a disease. We call it the seasonal a seasonal affective disorder, the acronym is SAD. And those who suffer from a lack of sunlight, they will have sickness. And they will literally, exhibit some conditions that will result in depression and discouragement. And they'll be more susceptible to illnesses. Why? Because they lack the sun. You all know this here in Minnesota especially, that even on the coldest day in January, when it gets way, way below zero, there's something about if you can at least have the sun come out, how it just perks you up. It might be like 40 below zero, but if you have the sun, it just feels better. It is better. We all know how the light brings healing, but fifthly, it also brings cheer. It brings cheer, and the light brings cheer to us. In Isaiah chapter 60 and verse number 20, the Bible prophesies, "Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." You know, the songwriter said it this way, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see." You see, that joy comes with Jesus Christ. Light, the light of the world, brings joy. And then finally, let me give you this point here, that light also brings security. It brings security. Are you afraid of the dark? You know, I think a lot of people grow up, you know, with a fear, a natural fear of darkness and a natural fear of maybe what they don't see because of that darkness. And there's good news because Jesus Christ is the light. You know, it was actually, I was reading this not too long ago, but there was the very famous author, Stephen King, who wrote a lot of fiction stories that had a lot of horror and a lot of scary stuff in those books. And somebody came to him one time and, you know, asked him the question, said, tell me about your writing and when do you write all these things? He said, always in the morning, always in the day. He said, well, that's curious. Don't you ever write like late at night? He said, are you kidding? With the stuff I write, would I ever write it late at night? Even Stephen King knew that there is some kind of a fearful power at night. There's something to fear at night. And you and I, that's why even sometimes little kids, they have those night lights and those things that secure them. There's nothing more securing than even having the light. You know, I thought about that. I thought about that especially here this week. You know, as we had just even this week, we laid Brother Wayne Jensen and laid his body in the ground. We had a memorial service for Brother Wayne. And, you know, I thought about even others that even at this time of year have gone home to be with Jesus. And, you know, for those individuals, I thought about, you know, just the as we're even having a service here on earth, how that they are in the light of his presence. I thought about a Pastor Johnson. And I thought about Wayne Jensen. I thought about my father-in-law. And I thought about several others. I thought about Jerry and many others that even you, some of you here, you even laid to rest your loved one. But your loved one, if they knew Jesus Christ, there's nothing to fear because they're in the light. Oh, the light brings security. The light brings security. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, of angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men. From heaven's all-gracious King, the world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Perhaps you've heard of the famous poet and short story novelist O. Henry. His real name was actually not O. Henry. It was William Sidney Porter. And O. Henry, that was his pen name. He wrote all of these short stories, and he was very famous. He was very successful in writing. He died in 1910. As far as we know, he was never saved. In fact, he died of cirrhosis of the liver. He was a drunk. And he was a man that succumbed to depression. His wife had left him, and he sat in a darkened hospital room. And as he lay dying, he called his nurse, it is said, over to his side. And his nurse's name was Mary. And he said to Mary, he said, Mary, please pull up the shades. He said, I'm afraid to die in the dark. I'm afraid to die in the dark. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that at Christmas time, we can know Jesus Christ is our Savior. Not just simply Jesus Christ was born, but Jesus Christ is my Savior. Remember the words that were spoken to those shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. God provided himself a lamb. Father, I pray that you would even speak to hearts even this evening as we celebrate Christmas. Christmas, and Lord, it is night. And I just happen to believe that back then, 2,000 years ago, it was a night like tonight, that the light of the world came to this earth. Lord, how we needed the light. And Jesus is the light. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us that we might know that Jesus is our Savior. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to have the instruments play. I wouldn't want to pass this night without an opportunity, if you don't know Christ as Savior, to invite you to come and accept him as Savior. We're going to have this hymn of invitation. If God is speaking to your heart, you step out and come. Let's all stand, and as they begin to play, you step out. You come this evening.